to you today for you to think about. All right, in every age. Okay, in every age. Everybody got me? Every age. Paul, we know for sure, we say, well, the first church age, or actually the first three church ages, had the faith of the fathers, which is right here. Got it? Everybody got that? Everybody understand that? This is the faith of the fathers. James says, contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Paul, casting out devils. We see those. And I like what that brother said Wednesday night. I really enjoyed it. That was good. If you weren't there, you better listen to it twice. Because he brought out some really good things. One thing he brought out was about gifts. Gifts are not to be leaned on as a positive identification of where you are. Gifts are given to you like a gift. Like a gift. God gives you a gift and you open it, and what it does, it's a surprise, or it's something to enhance your Christianity, not to say that you're a Christian. I love that. And I've never seen it that way before, to explain it to somebody. And you know, Brother Branham, in a roundabout way, he did explain that to the Pentecostals, but he really didn't say, hey, this is to enhance your Christianity, not to say that you are a Christian. Because gifts and callings are without repentance. But if you're a God-called person and God gives you a gift, that's God working in you and through you with a gift. Because remember, Caiaphas had a gift. He was black inside. Right? He went to hell because he rejected the word. He killed the word, actually. But he also prophesied. That was a gift that he had that he could enter into. Balaam had a gift that he could enter into, speak to God. He knew how to get an audience with God. He knew how to make the right sacrifice. He knew, and you know what? It wasn't uncommon that he would get an audience with God. Right? So he had been getting an audience with God for a long time, but that's a gift that he had that if he would have used it right, then see, let's just put it this way for an example. If he would have been a born-again Christian, he couldn't turn the word down like he did. If Caiaphas would have been born again, God in his soul, see, God would have used that gift, and also he would have used the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then the gifts that went on top of that, that would enhance your journey. And I love what the brother said, because that's what he meant. If he didn't say that in words, he meant that. It enhances your journey. It doesn't prove your journey. Speaking in tongues don't prove you got the Holy Ghost. But speaking in tongues, if it's a prophecy to somebody, it's God using you to help somebody else. Which is what? Virtue. See? So the first church age had these gifts. Now I want you to look. Now remember, Brother Branham, he'll explain and we'll not read it. But right before this explanation, Brother Branham talks about looking at the pyramid on the back of a dollar bill. The capstone's not on it. Even the pyramids in Egypt, there's not caps on them. They're flat. There's no top or head on it. All right? Because remember, Jesus was rejected. He was the headstone. He was the head of the church. So this is his head. This is his body. Okay? This is adoption. This is not. This is not. Paul wasn't adopted. But Paul was right here. Now you receive the spirit of adoption right here. Right? Where you cry, Abba, Father. Our daddy, daddy. I'm crying for my daddy right here. But you're not crying up here. You're speaking. You're speaking the word here. This is what it's what God says now. See, remember, on the River Jordan, God identified who his son was, not had become, or already, he was already a son, but his identification came on the River Jordan. The anointing for his ministry came, and he preached for 3.5 years. Well, that man was this total pyramid. Right? That man was this total pyramid, even because he was the head of the church. The headstone came in Jerusalem in April in a manger, born of a virgin. See, I know it's right, listen, but Brother Branham and Brother Dale always quotes that he became the fullness of the Godhead on River Jordan. Well, I showed him a quote the other day where Brother Branham said he was born the fullness of the Godhead. He was born because he could not gain any attributes. God don't gain attributes, right? He grew into those attributes, just like you do. See, that's the same way you do. You don't have those attributes at your natural birth. Sure, you may have some of these naturally, but like Brother Tim said last Sunday, these are God-given. These are nothing, man. You can't go to school. You can't go to class and learn this in a university. Just a school of hard knocks is the only way you're going to get these. Right? Right? Yeah. Yes. He grew in... To me, Jesus was not a dual person. Don't get me wrong. You hear me? He's not two people. But there was a human part of Jesus, not separate, but he had to contend with the things on this earth. God never had to contend with the things on this earth like Jesus did when he was born a baby. See, Melchizedek, remember I told you that? Melchizedek stepped into a body, spoke to Abraham, turned and condemned Sodom, and went right back out of existence. Well, he didn't go through life as a child. He didn't have to eat. Sure, they fed him a calf, but he didn't have to. Jesus had to eat. Jesus had to breathe. All those things. Why? That's what he chose to do. God makes choices. But he makes the right ones first. We make choices and may make the wrong one first, but he makes the right choice every time. So you know what? You say, well, I'd have done it a different way. Well, no, you wouldn't have. If you was God, that's exactly the way you'd do it, the way he came. But he had to come in human flesh to be our brother. Born a baby, Holy Ghost was in him. He was the Holy Ghost. It's not that he received the Holy Ghost. He received an anointing for his ministry, which is part of the Holy Ghost. See, remember, you receive baby form, Abba Father, down here. Right? Baby, daddy, I'm crying, I need something. Because I don't have enough of these virtues to get into the Bible or get into the prophet's message and say, oh, that's what that's saying. Oh, that's what that's meaning. Oh, that's the way I'm supposed to live, right? If you don't see this in your journey, like I was talking about the other day with Abraham, if you don't see yourself in Abraham's journey, then you need a new birth. I mean, you just need to be born again. You need to go back and say, God, I need to start right here. When Abram was called out. And you know what? Abram came out. He moved. He was always moving, always going somewhere. All right? So baby form faith, this same Holy Spirit is down here. But this Holy Spirit here, it's not the same as this Holy Spirit here in you as far as manifestation. Holy Spirit doesn't change, ever. He was the Holy Spirit that said, let there be. The Bible even says Jesus Christ created all things. So that was the Holy Ghost back in the back, in the back part of God's mind coming out speaking, let there be. So Jesus didn't have a different Holy Ghost. That's where people get these female Holy Ghosts and male Holy Ghosts and two Lords and two this and two that. No, God was one. God was Jesus Christ, God Almighty. All right? There wasn't no other attribute somewhere else. Or Jesus would have displayed it. All right? So everything we need for our earthly journey, God gives us at the new birth down here. Baby form faith. That's when you are born again. And like I said before, it happened in my journey. It happened in Abram's journey. God was just giving him stuff. He was just, if he say, hey, he'd give it to you. Now sometimes you cry. And he says, don't you know that you got to go through this and this? See, that's what, don't you know that you got to go through these things? Most people in the message don't know that you got to go through this. But you've got to go through this to get to where you can be raptured. Change of the body. Now remember, truly, down here, you can be born again. You're just as eternal as God is. That don't mean one thing. You're born again. You're going in the rapture. But you're not going to take a change of the body down here. Or Paul would have took a change of the body right here. That's why this message is so important, because this message in its totality, now listen to me, in its not just 63 to 65, in its total form, is this. Because remember, this was rejected and it's not come. That's why there's no head on the pyramid. Jesus came. This is Jesus. I wished I had that. I saw one time there was a Statue of Perfect Man picture with Jesus imprinted in here with his head right there. And I can't find it anymore. So if somebody finds it, let me know. All right? But this is Jesus. Jesus was born. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He didn't have to be taught. Now listen. In his humanity, he had to be taught to walk and to live. That's his, this outside man. Not a different man, but this outside flesh had to learn how to walk. It had to learn how to go to the bathroom. He wore diapers just like babies do. He wasn't, if he was any different than a human, he could not die for the human race. Okay? Brother Branham said he was tempted in all points. What about Mary Magdalene? Remember, he lived with Mary. He didn't live with Mary Magdalene. He lived in the same house. Because remember, all of them were together. Lazarus, Mary Magdalene, Mary Martha, and all of them, they were all together. Well, she was a prostitute. Don't you think he saw some things that maybe, you know, tweaked his senses because he was a human? But remember, the difference in me and you and me and him is that I will, as a human and not born again, I will entertain those thoughts and continue with the thought. Does everybody understand that? But see, now with the Holy Ghost, you can't help those thoughts coming, but what you do is you do just like Jesus. You do just like Jesus did. Those thoughts will come, the prince of the world is coming, he has nothing in me. Well, now what did that scripture tell you? He will come. The prince of this world has come. What, in other words, what? The prince of this world, Satan, has come to Jesus and tempted him. But he said, he has nothing in me. Brother Joe? That's right. Because the thoughts are going to come. And that's where a lot of you have this battle. You have this battle that, oh, I'm having evil thoughts, that I'm evil. This is the devil's playground. He is allowed by the fall to come into this thing right here. Because remember, Eve let him in here first. Right? Special cases all aside. Male and female, you must process in your mind what you're going to do next. Now sure, somebody says, well, I reacted and didn't think. No. No, there was a process there somewhere. And like, you know, like male and female, men and women, you get the thought up here before the act happens. Right? You have to get this thing going, right? That's what Eve did. She got this thing going. Satan got in this thing instead of this. He couldn't get into her heart. Remember, she's not born again, but she had the Holy Ghost, right? She had an eternal life in her soul. So Satan couldn't get to this, he got to this. And remember, what she done was she reasoned on the word because she wasn't maybe had all these working. Remember, because Brother Brown said she took her human side. Her feelings, emotions. Satan knew that part was weak. And you know, I was thinking something the other day. We talk about free moral agency. Let me tell you how free moral agency works. Here you've got only two people on the earth. Adam and Eve, right? At that time. When they were walking in eternity, when they were walking in the garden, in other words, maybe not in eternity, but walking in the garden, there was no time, right? God would come down every day and talk to Adam and Eve. Is that right? That's what the prophet said. Both of them. Not just one. Both of them. Now, Eve went off and did what she did. Why didn't God, Adam being a son, why didn't Adam go, be careful, son. Your wife's fixing to do something wrong. He couldn't do that. Absolutely. So don't tell me that the free moral agency is gone in the end time. That's what a lot of people say. Well, you don't have a free moral agency. You just always was. Adam, God, if it was me, God, I'd have said, Adam, be careful tomorrow. Your wife's fixing to do something. Because you know God knew what was going on. God knew when he created them what they were going to do. But he couldn't influence Adam. He had to let Adam make a human choice. Absolutely. Absolutely. To display what was in God. God always wanted to save somebody because he was a Savior. He always wanted to save somebody. He always wanted to be the one that comes and brings somebody out of something. That's what a Savior is, right? When you save somebody in the water, what you do is you go down to where they are, pull them up out of where they are, and put them in the boat. Our problem is we jump out of the boat sometimes and get back in the water. That's justification. Justification is that, you know, you got to bring you out, but, you know, you jump right back in. But now when you receive the Holy Ghost when you come back out, you're not going to jump back in. But during your journey, you may jump back in the water a few times. So just a little cute little analogy there. But to display the attributes, he had to allow Adam. So look, Brother Brown said, whatever he gave Adam, he gives you. So it's your choice. But God knowing your choice by your free moral agency and everybody, there's no way that God could allow somebody to go into heaven because of their own merits and their own thoughts and their own ideas that were influenced by God. Everybody understand that? Because if God influences Bob and says, Bob, you got to be this, you got to be that, you got to be, and then he doesn't, this person over here, say me, and then I see him standing at the white throne judgment, judging, not being judged, and my thoughts are, why did you go do that, God, and why did you not do it to me? But no, at the judgment, God's going to say, Tuesday, August the 24th, 1973, I came to you, and you turned me down. And you know what that person's thought's going to be? Yes, he did. But I've seared my conscience so much, I've got so far away from God, I don't remember that. But that's to me, Brother Branham said, God is just. The Bible says God is just. And to be just, he had to give you a free moral agency. Now, you'll hear Brother Branham say you didn't have anything to do with it. I agree with that. But you've got to put it in the context of what he's speaking. Because if we didn't have anything to do with it, he did choose this one and not choose this one. And that's unjust. A judge can't come in and be unjust. He's got to go by the laws that he set forth himself. So everybody, doesn't matter if it was from Adam all the way to the end time, has been given this free moral agency. I'm sorry?
He does by his foreknowledge, though. He knows what's going on.
That's correct. Foreknowledge is the key to the whole thing.
So that's probably what he meant by you didn't have to do it.
That's correct. But see, remember, you didn't have anything. How many of us had anything to do with getting us here? Your mom and daddy got us here by having an act. And one met one. And here you come. Well, now that is the providence of God. But like I've always said, God knew when you got here that you would want it more than Joe Blow out here. I don't want to say that. Joe Jones or whoever. So he had it waiting for you. Sure, then he gave you an angel at birth. He knows these things, but we don't. See, if we knew the end from the beginning, we'd probably all go crazy. Wouldn't we? If we knew the end from the beginning. See, there's where God knows all things. He knows if he dumps it on us all at one time. Jesus is the only one that could handle this all at one time. Because he wasn't born of fornication. He wasn't born of sin. He's born right. Right? That's why he didn't need a new birth. Because he was born with this. He was born right the first time. We need to be born the second time to get born right. Okay? So let me finish this. Does somebody else have a... Yeah. No, I think he threw rocks and... Sure he did. No, remember, he's got a human side. He had to know what something about planting a rope and throwing people out of a temple, didn't he? Listen, don't be like Daddy. Daddy thought God couldn't even stump it. No. Jesus Christ as a baby got whipped. Because you did, didn't you?
He had to know what it was like.
Sure he did. Sure he did. But now remember, the Bible says he grew in grace and knowledge. He was made perfect by the things he, what? There's your scripture right there. If he didn't suffer, what's suffering? Doing something wrong, right? We suffer because we do something wrong. Our backside gets flattened, and hopefully it connects to the brain. And I believe, Trudy, I'm sorry, I don't believe that. I believe he was a boy right up to being a boy. I believe he, played with, sticks and stones, and yeah, he probably pulled a girl's hair. And if he didn't, he wouldn't know what to be. If God made anything any more special than you, beside being Almighty God, then he's got to come back as a different person. Does everybody understand that? He had to come back because, people say, well, and that's what people in the message are saying. They say, well, Jesus wasn't perfect because the Bible said he was made perfect by the things he suffered. No, he was made complete. He was born with this, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay? That led him and guided him, but he had a human side. He had a human side. Now, I'm not saying he had a human nature, but he had a human side that would allow him to get angry in a temple and run the people out, to grow in grace and knowledge. And it says, and favor with men. So, yeah, he was a proper child, I believe, when he got older. But when he was a kid, he was just a kid. He was just a kid. He run around with the kids, and I just believe he did kid things. Because remember, let me prove that. Even when he was 30 years old, John the Baptist, who was his first cousin, did not know he was the Lamb of God. He had played with him. I just read that quote the other day. Brother Brown said, God, Jesus and John the Baptist played together, and John never knew who he was. So he was not so special. Now remember, the Bible says John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. So he was a special child, not special. You understand what I mean? But the Bible says he was born for a purpose. Remember, he was real young and went out into the desert itself. But remember, he played with Jesus Christ himself. And probably that day when he said, behold the Lamb of God, because remember, the Bible says that John, whoever you see the dove descend and remain. Now remember, I believe he saw these other, Caiaphas and all these other priests. Remember, they would always come and they were questioning. I believe he could see the Holy Spirit go on those people, but not remain. Because Caiaphas, the Holy Spirit would come on Caiaphas and he would prophesy. Holy Spirit would come on Caiaphas and he would take the sacrifice in for the year, and God would honor that. But the Bible says the Holy Ghost would come on and remain. So he probably even saw Jesus. He probably saw an anointing come one day. And he said, well, it's not leaving. This must be the man. That's why he told them in that crowd. He said, behold. And in other words, look. Finally, the Lamb of God's made itself known. This is the man right here. And I believed in John's humanity. He said, I've been beside him all along. And didn't know who he was. Now tell me that he was different then. Now, Jesus was not different. Jesus went through every form and condition we went through, but without sin. You and I are sinners. Our nature is so close, like Tim said, our nature is so close to a beast nature, because remember, that's what came into the fall, was the beast nature. That beast nature came into the human race, and it doesn't, Brother Branham said, without the Holy Ghost, you're just a brute beast, right? You have a nature that's fallen. Well, see, Jesus didn't have that nature to deal with. But he was, remember, when he came into this world, when he was born into this world, he was born in Satan's domain. He got older, so susceptible. Is that what it's going to everything that was in this fallen condition. Even though he's a child, listen, are you not born again? Well, you don't look any younger than 10 years ago that I saw you. Because this is a fallen condition. But inside of me is eternal man that's 18 years old, 20 years old. That's the paradox in the end time, or all the way through, actually, is that God can indwell somebody and they still look old. Even Jesus. That's why the scribes and them had a problem with this man. They thought the Messiah was going to come, like Brother Bram said, walk up to the temple and live like a monk, I guess. You know, no thoughts, no bad, nothing. But they would watch Jesus. He'd go over here and talk to a prostitute. They called him a wine bibber. He must have drank some wine. He was a common man. That there was no difference in him and me and you during his life, except when he walked onto that river, Brother Branham said, there's where God identified where he was. So that was his identification. Brother Branham calls it his coronation day, where God didn't give him the Holy Ghost to make him God. He was already God. But he got an anointing for his ministry so that now truly all these things are working in that man's life to its 100%. You understand what I said? 100%. Because that's what we got to come to. We got to come to this right here. Martin Luther, I believe there's people in Martin Luther's age that come to brotherly kindness. But not adoption. No one has reached adoption except Jesus, Brother Branham, and the people in the end time is the only people. That's why I told you the other day, real narrow up here at the top. A lot of people born again down here. And through the ages, Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, all these great men, Brother Branham, come to this place and had to come to this place before the next step comes. And that's what we were going to get into, but we don't have time. But we'll talk about this Holy Spirit next Sunday, Lord willing. And then me and Bob both going to be gone. So you want to do it on the... What, 4th? 5th. October 5th. I'm going to be in Mobile, Alabama, preaching for the brother Matthew Bray, and Bob's going to tagging along. He's going to sing a special. He's going to be George Beverly Shea. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, right here is where every Christian began since the day of Pentecost. The 3,000 downstairs started right here. Now the 120 upstairs had been tutored by this headstone. See, because remember, he said, I will draw all men to me. Draw. Right? I'll draw all men. Not just at the new birth, not just calling at the new birth, but I'll draw. Because, look, if God was here, somebody's got to be here to draw. Right? So Jesus had to be here. He had to be the full expression of God, the headstone. And remember, when it was rejected, then from then on, all down through the ages, you had that was all that would come. Everybody understand that? Now, sure, you get divine love down here, but it's not the fullness. Remember, this is a headstone. This is a pyramid in itself. But remember, this pyramid can't be complete without that pyramid. Got it? See, that's not a true pyramid. But that is. That's a true pyramid. But you put the two together, he's the head. He controls the body. So the Lord Jesus on Mount Transfiguration, Brother Branham said, it was now, this is my beloved Son whom I'm pleased to dwell, hear ye him. It brings it down to a point, all right? On Sunset Mountain, I believe that's the same thing happened to Brother Branham. Brother Branham took it up on a mountain, a cloud. Brother Dale's talking about a cloud of witness. Well, that's our cloud of witness right there, that cloud. That's our greater cloud of witness. But Brother Branham came to this because he had to come to this before you and I can come to it. Somebody had to, there had to be a first fruit. There had to be a first partaker. So he first partook of it. Jesus, number one. Then Brother Branham. But now you and I, to get a body change, we got to be up here. We can't take a body change right here. There's no body change in this, because remember, all those people are dead. There's only a few people that's going to reach that right there. And even the ones that reach there have died. Jesus died. Brother Branham died. So there's got to be a special anointing in the end time that puts all this together. The reason Brother Branham couldn't take a body change is because I wasn't here yet. The body is not complete without you. Go ahead. I thought Frida had her hand up. She had her hand up because you had your hand up.
No, I have my hand up.
Okay.
That's
right. see, 1947, he preached the first sermon he preached was what? Faith is a substance. 1947, the first recorded sermon was, so he started right here. And from 47 to 1963, he preached to here. In type, okay, in type. He preached to here. He thought he was finished. Remember, spoken words original seed, 1962, he said the true word struck the earth. Oral Roberts planted a seed. Billy Graham planted a seed, and I planted a seed. But remember, the Holy Spirit said, pick up your pen and write. He said, as of yet. Malachi 4 has not been made known. Now, it was not the first part of Malachi 4. Remember, the prophet of Malachi 4 has to do two things. Number one, go to Malachi 4. Go to Revelation 10:7. That's why Brother Bram had to put them two together. Revelation 10:7 was this coming down. So that we have the ability to receive this. So you had to put Revelation 10:7 with Malachi 4, because Malachi 4 does say, restore the hearts of the children to the fathers. This was the children to the fathers. Okay? Because remember, it was the fathers to the children. What John took the Old Testament fathers and brought them to newborn babes. Brought them, you know, in dispensation coming across. Then you come back around where the fourth spirit of Elijah had to bring this restore back to here, 47 to 63. But you can't throw away 47 to 63. You have no foundation. You just have this. And you can't understand this without this. With this not fully working in your life, there's no way you can understand this. We got to go. Sorry, friend. Well, just hold it till next week. That's why these...